Father, I thank you and I praise you for these people who came out this night to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Father God, you've already given us fresh manna from heaven. And so we are waiting anxiously, Father God, to see what else you're going to do to us and for us and around us this night. Father, you have full and complete and total rule and reign in your service tonight. You have my permission to do whatever you want to do. And Father, we just thank you for your Son, your Holy Spirit, your angelic host. And Father God, we just welcome your Holy Spirit to this service, to the rest of this service tonight. You speak through him, Father God, and you tell him what to do. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is some word from God and then other teaching also. You know, it totally amazes me of how the people in the house of God react to each other. You know, I tell you this, every service is going to tell you again tonight, you have to check your life. Are you truly walking in the Spirit? You know, something was said the other day, and the other person reacted with so much hate. And I just went, into my closet, and I said, God, why? And then I wept for the next half hour, because God said, there's so much hate in my body. You know, you can get upset with something, but you don't, if you're truly of God, you're not going to do it with hate. And see, this is a problem. The body does everything with hate. Yes, anger is all right, but not when you do it with hate. And this is what God said. In a world full of hate and animosity, I am bringing forth a body of believers who will love at all costs. I'm sorry, but the church hasn't reached that point yet. God said this transference of love to hate was a very well thought out plan of the enemy. He worked on my people a little at a time, and they did not realize they were losing their love walk, leaving their first love. Let's read that again, Brett. This transference of love to hate was a very well thought out plan of who? The enemy. He worked on my people a little at a time, and they did not realize they were losing their love walk. And then I put down leaving their first love is what God told me. And how many times did he minister to us about that we've left our first love and that we had to return back to our first love? If the minute you hear something, the first thing you do is you start judging, and you're hateful, and you're not walking where you should be. You're not in the love walk. You're just not in the love walk. And if you're always judging and criticizing, condemning, you're not in the love walk. God showed you grace when you shouldn't have been shown grace. He showed you love and long suffering when you didn't deserve it. So why can't you do that to your brother and your sister? You need to start asking yourselves these things. Am I truly walking in the Spirit? If Jesus would come down here right this second, how many of us would actually go with him into the heavenly realm? And how many of us would be sitting here? He's not going to take you into any rapture if you're not walking totally and completely in the love walk. He's just not going to do it. God said, because of the prayers of the true intercessors, I am bringing agape love back on the scene. Now listen to what he's telling us here. I am bringing agape love back on the scene, and you shall see a transference of a wealth of love being poured out upon a loveless nation. Hate, and God said, hate and bitterness run rampant throughout the land. There is no longer compassion and grace being bestowed upon those who are lost. Are you listening? How many times do you see people who are lost Christian people, belittled them, putting them down, showed no grace, no mercy. God goes on to say, dog eat dog world, a world I did not create. But the enemy devises his evil schemes in the darkness when my children are slumbering and not at their post. Then he said, my children, do not cover their minds with the blood of my son Jesus before they slumber. And the enemy is able to creep into the tiny crevices and sow discord in their minds. See, we are not doing our parts. We should be covering our mind gates before we go to sleep with the blood of Jesus. And because we don't, our minds are wide open for the enemy to come and sow whatever he feels like sowing into our minds. God went on to say, hate is one of the reasons my son died on the cross. The cross he carried up Golgotha Hill was a weapon of warfare. And see, God told me one time that the body of Christ does not use all the weapons at their disposal in his word. So the cross is really a weapon. It's a weapon of love, doing away with hate. All right, a weapon of warfare that destroyed the works hate of the enemy. That's what the cross did. When my son gave his final breath, love came alive through my Holy Spirit. And this is why the body of Christ is not walking in the love walk, so you really are not walking in the Spirit. I hate to tell you, I'm busting some of your bubbles tonight. You do not walk in the Spirit the way you think you are. If you were really walking in the Holy Spirit the way you ought, your mind, your thoughts and your mind wouldn't be what they are. You wouldn't react negatively to situations to the point that it's hate. Are you listening? God says, why do you think the enemy has been trying to get my people to deny the existence of the Holy Spirit? He knows without a shadow of a doubt that my Holy Spirit is filled with the Godhead mightily and encompasses love on every level. Let's read this again. Why do you think the enemy has been trying to get my people to deny the existence of the Holy Spirit? He knows without a shadow of a doubt that my Holy Spirit is filled with the Godhead mightily and encompasses love on every level. We all know there's different levels of love. God said, love has become a foreign word to the nations. And when he said nations, he's talking about people, okay? Even though I warned of the gross darkness, my people did not heed my warnings. This darkness crept in and began its destructive work of brutality, selfishness, and all evil works associated with what? Hate. God goes on to say, how many times did I call the nations to come back to their first love? They did not hear that warning and continued their merry ways of selfish absorption. Hate transgresses all my commandments. It walks all over the Father's heart on every level. Children, hate does not build up, it destroys the nations on all sides. Hate brings darkness with it and is destroying the very heart of this nation. It is self-absorbed and it absorbs all that is evil. Hate is a bottomless pit. It will continue to devour until someone steps up and says no more. You individually have to tell the devil, no more are you going to use me to hate my brothers and my sisters. You have to say that. Then you not only have to say it, you have to follow through with it. And anytime the enemy tries to make you hate somebody or think evil thoughts of them, you have to stop the thought pattern. I'm sorry, but your mind is not my mind. I can't control your mind, thank God. We each have our own mind. We each have to control our own thoughts. And God's saying bitterness runs rampant because of hate. Jealousy runs rampant because of hate. And I'm hearing God say, hate just sucks everything in it that it can suck in that is good and turns it to evil. Where am I at? I lost my place. How many times? Is that where I'm at? Hate transgresses all my commandments. It walks all over the Father's heart on every level. I don't see that. Where am I at, Brett? I can't hear you. All right, so we read, love has become a foreign word to nations. Can you go to that? All right, love has become a foreign word to nations. Isn't this just like the devil to do this? Even though I warned of the gross darkness, my people did not heed my warnings. This darkness crept in and began its destructive work of brutality, selfishness, and all evil works associated with hate. How many times did I call the nation to come back to their first love? They did not hear that warning and continued their merry ways of selfish absorption. Hate transgresses all my commandments. I know we read this before, but we're reading it again. It walks all over the Father's heart on every level. Do you hear what it does? It walks all over the Father's heart on every level. Children hate, it does not build up, it destroys the nations on all sides. Hate brings darkness with it and is destroying the very heart of this nation. It is self-absorbed and absorbs all that is evil. Hate is the bottomless pit. It will continue to devour until someone steps up and says, no more. Love must abound if this nation is to survive the onslaught of gross darkness. Love must abound if this nation is to survive the onslaught of gross darkness. I have called you forth as lights, lights of love, that will go forth dispelling the darkness of hate. Are you seeing this? Oh, how the nations are roaring, how they are continually night and day seeking peace but find none. In Psalm 2, 1 through 4 says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Satan is a liar by nature. Jesus tells us that lying is second nature to the devil. He doesn't sugarcoat it either. In John 8:44, he was a murderer. Jesus saying he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. You say you're a child of God, but you lie. You lie at the drop of a hat. You're not walking in the Spirit, or you wouldn't be doing that. You keep your mouth shut and you say to yourself, I have nothing to say. If I can't tell the truth, I just shut up. All right? The apostle tells us that our enemy is also a great deceiver. Can you get her some water? You have it? Okay. All right, Acts 5:3, Ananias makes a shady donation in the church. And Peter asks, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And what happened to Ananias? He dropped dead. His wife came in telling the same lie. She dropped dead right in the church. God has told us that Ananias and Sapphira anointing is going to come in to the house of God. You're going to be sitting here pretending you're one thing, and you're going to drop dead because you're not what you're making people believe you are. Paul later tells the Corinthian church that the serpent deceived Eve through cunning lies in 2 Corinthians 11:3, and says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11:14. A lot of you are walking in that deception of Satan being an angel of light. I've had the devil come to me many times acting like he was God's. And if you really listen, God said, you only know his sheep, know his voice, know his voice will they follow. And if you only know God's voice, you will know that it's the devil speaking to you and not God. He'll put one word in there that will make you say, oh, this is not my Father speaking to me. But see, because you're so quick to want to hear what he's telling you, and he knows you want to hear that lie, that you will just not listen to what's really being said to you. When you're listening to the voice of God, you should listen intently and listen to every word that's spoken to make sure that it's truly God speaking to you. Are you listening here? This is very, very important that you grab a hold of this concept tonight about hate and love. When God started this, I thought, I'll just go back to that hate and love message I used to teach. God said, no, you now would do different this time. It would have been easy. It was a good one. All right, but Satan's deceitfulness doesn't stop with Satan. In the same passage where Jesus calls Satan the father of lies, he tells the Jews who want to kill him, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. What did he tell the Jews? If he walked in here, he said the same thing in this church. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. I'm not preaching to the church down in the corner. God knows who's in this church tonight. And he wants you, who wants it are here, to hear this word. And whoever's listening online needs to hear the word also. You aren't here by mistake. You aren't hearing this by mistake. And I'm hearing God tell me right now that he's doing some weeding tonight. He's separating the wheat from the chaff. Which pile are you going to be on when he's finished? When the disciples asked Jesus to explain this parable of the wheat and tares, Jesus tells them that the good seed represents the sons of his kingdom, while the tares represent the sons of the evil one. You find that in Matthew 13:36-40. The newly converted apostle Paul tells a sorcerer in Acts 13:10, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. This is brand new Paul, just being converted. And he's confronting this sorcerer that none of the other disciples would confront. You're going to have to confront the lie in order for the truth to prevail. Come on, guys. Are you really the warriors you're pretending you are? If you can't take this teaching, you're not a warrior yet. Because a warrior wants to hear the truth. And a true servant of God wants to hear the truth so they can walk in that truth and not give God a bad name. In his first epistle, John says the children of the devil are evident based on their sinful behavior and their lack of love for their brothers and sisters. In 1 John 3:10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. You know, you can be upset with a brother and sister and still love them. Good grief. It's just like people, you know, they're married and been married a while, and then all of a sudden one day they decided they don't like each other for that day. And right away they start throwing around hateful words and being ignorant to one another. And why do you do that? Why can't you say, God, I give you this situation? And then just walk on and do what you know you need to do and let God take care of the devil who came in there to throw something into your marriage. Instead, right away, I want a divorce. I always knew you were going to be like this. I want a divorce. That makes me sick. You know why I don't sit down and talk to people anymore about these type of things? They don't want to change. I got a degree in counseling and don't even use it because people are people and they don't want to change. And just like one counselor told my sister after 20 years, she said, I love your money, but I don't want to see you no more. You don't want to change. You just want to rehearse your hurts. And that's what happens in the body of Christ. You don't want to change. You just want everybody to feel sorry for you all the time. I don't feel sorry for you. Time you grow up. I tell that to my kids all the time. Grow up. Nobody's going to grow up for you. You need to get rid of your junk yourself. And we have a Father in heaven who wants to take it from you. 1 John 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. The well from which we draw our attribute of love is God Himself, because He's the God of love. God is love. We can abide in it, and it is perfected in us. 1 Peter 4:8 bothers me at times. Bothers me. It says, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And why does it bother me? Because I uncover somebody's sins. I know I'm not fulfilling the scripture. I'll be honest with you. And every time I do it, I say, oh, God, I just messed up. I uncovered her sin. And that means I don't love them the way I ought. Isn't that what that's telling me? Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Oh boy, some of you really messed up now. All right, since God is love, love is from God. It is with God's love that we are to love one another. Hell shows us the extent of God's love in saving us. Why did Jesus speak about hell more than anyone else in the Bible? By that anyone, I mean the disciples or anybody. He wanted us to see what he was going to endure on the cross on our behalf. On the cross, Jesus' punishment was scarcely describable. This bloody, disfigured remnant of a man hanging there in immense pain, he slowly suffocated to death for you and I. That was love. You know, I really can't look at the cross and the beatings Jesus took for one reason. People don't honor him. And they could care less what he went through. And that bothers me. How can you sit here and watch what Jesus went through and still have sin in your heart, in your mind, and go out that door and still sin? You don't love Jesus. No, you don't. You don't even love yourself. If that cross scene does, because it's a truth, it's what really happened. If that cross scene does not move you, then your heart is still hardened. And if you can go sin after you watch that, you have a deep-rooted problem. The worst part was the separation. We're talking about Jesus on the cross, all the things that he went to. But the worst part was the separation from the Father that Jesus felt. A separation that was hell itself. In Matthew 27:46, Jesus cried out, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? In all of this, Jesus was taking the hell of our sin into his body. That was pure, total, agape love. I cried out that one time to God. I said, God, why have you forsaken me? Why you let me in this hell, this dark place all by myself? Mary Catherine Baxter said that when Jesus took her to hell and left her in hell all by herself. Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me all alone? See, you really don't know the depth of God. You really are not walking in the depth of God that you should be walking in. If you have never felt that, if you've never cried out to God, there's still something in you that needs to be saved. Amen. We blame our brothers and our sisters. We blame our workplace. We blame Job. These women are jealous of me. And we go on and on and on. And the blame lies on your shoulders. Because I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If you was too really and truly totally immersed in the Holy Spirit, that kind of stuff wouldn't bother you. It didn't bother Jesus. Hell magnifies God's love for us by showing us how far God went and how much he went through to save us. You ungrateful people, you. You sit here so smug and you take and take and take from God, but you never give him. You never give. You constantly take. How are you going to lead these lost people in the street in that's coming? How are you going to lead them to Christ if you haven't given him your all? You can't. You just can't do that. I've told you for a year, God had me in the backside of the desert. He wouldn't let me quit preaching, but the only time I was anointed was when I come behind this pulpit. The minute I quit preaching, the anointing left. I never want to go through that dark time ever again. It was all because he told me not to do something. I said, well, if I want to. He said, go ahead. 1 year I paid for that. I got upset because somebody said something bad about me. And somebody said to me, well, you have a right to be upset. I said, no, I don't. They said, yes, you do. I said, you know what I do. And God said, don't go there. Do not go there. And I said to God, I will if I want to. He left me. He'll leave you. And you'll cry for a whole year, God, please. Please forgive me. Because being without him, you're not alive, you're dead. All right, but what is love? We talk about it, we sing about it, and search for it, but exactly what is it? The best definition of love I've come across is found in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Go home and memorize that and live it. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. You can live it, you just don't want to. You don't want to sell out enough to God. He doesn't want your 99%. He wants 100% of you. That's the only way you can minister his gospel in truth and watch people change. There are different degrees of love, but these verses give a good general definition. Truth comes to mind when I meditate on these verses. Well, four truths come to mind. Meditate on these verses. Number one, love is not sex. We live in a sex-crazed world that equates love with sex. However, a lot of what the world calls love is really lust. God told me this years ago. Love is when you look at a person and think, how can I help them? Lust is when you look at a person and think, how can they satisfy me? That's a big difference. If you've fallen into the trap of thinking of love in terms of sex, then you need to change your thinking. Otherwise, you will never experience what love really is. And you will never develop strong and lasting relationships. It makes me so mad to hear a husband or a wife demand that their husband or wife have sex with them when you don't really don't, when they can't, or you really don't know what they're going through, but you want your little lustful heart satisfied. That's perversion. I'm telling you this because God showed me all this when I first got involved with perversion. I wasn't into perversion, but he put me in the middle of it so I could see what I was headed for. And he said that the world doesn't know how to love. They all they know is lust. So I'm just telling you what God said. But I know that's true too. Now, I think I lost my place again. All right, number two. Love is not an emotion, right? Got myself all right. The world says that love is an emotion, which isn't true. Love affects emotions. It creates emotions, it causes emotions, but it is not an emotion. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is an action. Love isn't something you feel or something you say. It's something you do. You read verses 4 through 7 and notice the 14 different actions Paul uses to describe love. Patience, kindness, and so forth. Love, in a nutshell, is a goodwill you show towards someone. It's treating someone with the qualities described in verses 4 through 7. Take Jesus as an example. In John 15:12-13, Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That's why you had to praise and worship songs that you had tonight. I wanted you to see how much God loves you. And then at the end, I was hoping that you would say, raise your hand and say, here, God, you take the wheel. Because I'm not managing my life very well at all. Then Jesus went out and laid down his life for us by dying on the cross as our atoning sacrifice. He did something to build us up, and that is love. You know, whenever God told me there's so much lust in the body of Christ. Somebody walks through a stupid door and your lust jumps on them and their lust jumps on you, and then you chase them all around the church and you just think you have to have that person. You don't care what you're doing to the atmosphere as long as your lust is being satisfied. You don't even know that person. Get out of here. All right, so you just have to have that person. Then I watch you have somebody else, and then you tell me, oh, I got somebody over here. That's lust. That's not love. And don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I do. What about you, husband and wives? Do you love each other? Then treat each other with the qualities mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. What about you, moms and dads? Do you love your children? Then treat them with the characteristics of love as described in verses 4 through 7. What about you, my brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you love your neighbors? Then treat them with the qualities mentioned in verses 4 through 7. Somebody says, preacher, you don't understand. I just don't love my wife, my children. You finish the sentence. I don't love my mother. I don't love my father. That bothers me too. I know we were a well-to-do family, and I know why my mother and father got a divorce. Both of them were to blame. And we went into poverty because of that. But I never blamed either one of them, because you know what? I wasn't walking in their shoes, and I was just a young girl, 8 years old. Something in me says, don't judge them. I know now God's with me all my life. But I get so tired of hearing kids say, well, my mother did this to me, my father did that to me. God knew you were going to go through that when he placed you in that mother's womb. He knew what the pain you were going to endure. That was for a purpose. So, you know, you won't forgive your mother, your father, who you think destroyed you and what they did to you, but you're not finished yet in life, and you might go down a road just like theirs because you wouldn't take your eyes off of what they did and put your eyes on Christ and forgive them. Come on. Lost my place again. Look at verses 4 through 7. Again, they describe 14 actions that you choose to do or not do. There's a myth going around that says love is uncontrollable. I just fell in love like it was a ditch or something. You don't fall in love any more than you fall out of love. Love is a choice. You choose to love. You choose not to love. God told me this is how I know this. I went through these battles too. So you're getting the truth whether you like it or not. Somebody said, but preacher, those feelings just aren't there. So what? You can still choose to love someone even if the feelings aren't there. Your feelings will get you all messed up. They go from your head to the bottom part. Then nothing's right. Come on. We're adults. We need to start learning the truth and get out of the perversions that we're in and get into the truth of what love is all about. In fact, loving someone when you don't feel like it is a greater expression of love than loving someone when you do feel like it. I've walked down that road. Love is getting up in the middle of the night and helping a sick child when that's the last thing you want to do. Ask Sister Teresa about it. She's going through that right now. Love is being patient with your spouse when they're irritable. You're both irritable, so quit putting the blame on just one person. Love is when you do the loving thing even when you don't feel like it. Hello. Well, you know, God's asked me to give up my life. I don't love them. Well, you know what? God asked me to marry somebody that I wasn't in love with either and didn't want to marry them. He said, I will put my love in you and you will love that person. He didn't tell me what I was going to have to go through, but it didn't matter. He put the love in my heart for that person. Because I said, if you want me to marry this person, you want me to live with them, then you're going to, I don't love them. He said, I'll give you that love that you need. And when God gives you a love for somebody, nobody can take it away from you. But your love will just waste away when you see the next man or the next woman. God goes to love for that person. You'll be in love with somebody else. When you love in spite of, is that romantic? When you love in spite of your feelings, that's what I call loving by faith. Don't forget it's easier to act your way into a feeling than feel your way into an action. Let me say that again. Don't forget it's easier to act your way into a feeling than feel your way into an action. If you act in a loving way, eventually the feelings will come back. What about you? Have you been deceived by the myth that love is uncontrollable? Have you stopped loving someone because the feelings just aren't there anymore? Maybe it's a former friend. You know, I really, when somebody says that, that means you never loved. That you was full of lust. And now your lust has gone over to somebody else. And so you're putting blame on love, which never was in the picture to begin with. Maybe it's a former friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a relative, or your own spouse. Remember, love is a choice. You need to make that choice right now. You two are talking about getting married. I haven't seen the evidence of that yet. You need to make a choice. Either you love one another or you don't. If you don't, get out of the thing right now. And you people sitting in here full of lust, you're messed up all the way around, and I don't know what to tell you. Except I wouldn't want to be you standing before God as He judges you. God gave me a prophetic word for myself, and He said, you will now begin to see the Catherine Kuhlman anointing rise up and deliver my people from sickness. This is the love of God. This is why I'm sharing this with you. He gave this to me yesterday. The Esther anointing is rising up to free my people from bondage. The Mordecai anointing is rising up to free my men to walk in all the blessings. I think He's called some of you to be Mordecai's and some of you to be Esther's in here. That's how much God loves us. As bad as we treat Him, as ignorant and ungodly as we are, God still wants to bless us. And He's bringing the glory. And with the glory is going to come at least these three anointings that He told me about. Some of you don't even deserve it. It's grace, guys, grace. And grace means love. God loves us so much that He's going to show us grace and bring the miracles into our lives. Then God said the inferno is raging hot. It is being readied for the enemy and his forces of darkness. This battle will rage hotter and hotter, but I will always be in control of all things. The inferno is raging hot. It is being readied for the enemy and his forces of darkness. Now, are you one of the enemy's fellows? In other words, are you walking in darkness? Or are you walking with God? You really don't want to be playing games, because that furnace is raging and God is separating the wheat from the chaff. Then God went on to say, this is pure love flowing from my heart to the hearts of the people saved by grace through the blood of my son Jesus. Read that again. This is pure love flowing from my heart to the hearts of the people saved by grace through the blood of my son Jesus. Children, receive my pure agape love this night and never let go of it for one instance. Pure, not tainted, pure agape love. I am releasing it to you freely this night. I am filling to overflow every heart that wants this pure agape love. Are you ready to go into a new dimension of heaven and receive true heavenly love? I really want to admonish each one of you sitting in here tonight. You willingly came in the doors. You already know you never know what I'm going to do. You don't know what I'm going to be teaching on. You don't know how God's going to use me to give it. And I wasn't expecting this, but I'm glad he did, because the truth now is out there. And you won't be able, and God told me today that some of you are losing your salvation. You want to stay in your lust. You want to be the child of the devil, and he's not going to stop you. He's given you every advantage there is, and he still is tonight, to walk in the love walk and get out of your lust walk and do what is right for the kingdom of heaven. That world out there, have you really looked at that world out there? You know, it's like two dogs in heat. You know, give me a bush, you know? It doesn't matter. Give me a car seat. It doesn't matter. There's no love. Pull down your pants, pull up your dress, and let's go with it. That's not love. That's perversion at its highest peak. Well, we'll just live together for a while. God doesn't mind that. Yes, God minds that. And you're sitting in the house of God saying, I'm a child of God, and you have your little whatever you have out there telling other people how to live for God, and you're in sin. You're in sin. I remember when I first started church, this young couple, they were Air Force couple, came to the church, and beautiful couple, young kids, little, really young kids. And the first night they were there, they heard me. I taught about you can't live together and say you're a child of God. You have sex and everything. Well, the next day they came to my house, and they wanted me to pray with them, and they repented. And they lived in the same house, but they never slept together, because they had to get things together, get the wedding together. And I heard from those kids years, every, you know, they would write to me all the time. They were the happiest people in the world. But they said if I wouldn't have taught them not to sleep together for marriage, they wouldn't have stayed together. Because they said when they were sleeping together, they really got to know each other. And it didn't get we weren't happy with each other every now and then. But when they quit that, and then they got married, then they just couldn't slip out the door. They were a beautiful couple, had a couple really beautiful kids. And last time I heard, they're still serving God. See, every now and then, God lets a couple get it together, so I get a little bit of encouragement anyhow. So what did God say he wanted to do? See, I got all carried away there. This is what he's doing for the altar call. This is pure love flowing from my heart to the hearts of the people saved by grace. But anything you did, so quit thinking that. You're saved by grace through the blood of my son, Jesus, you know, that ran down Calvary's hill. He said, children, receive my pure agape love this night and never let go of it for one instant. I am releasing it to you freely this night. He's not going to charge you anything for it. He just wants your life. Come on. I am filling to overflow every heart that wants his pure agape love. If you really want it, he's unfilling to overflow every heart that wants his pure agape love. Are you ready to go into a new dimension of heaven and receive true heavenly love? You know, before anybody goes up to the altar, you know, came to me about, what's that female? I forgot her name already. Joyce Myers. Her father raped her every day of her life. And when she was born again, she was very, very bitter. But through listening to the word of God and falling in love with Jesus, she forgave him of that. And when it came to the end of his life, she wanted to. She brought him into her home and waited on him hand and foot until he died. And this is a man who raped her from a little girl right on up till she was old enough to leave home. She forgave him and then took care of him. Come on. I don't want to hear nothing out of your little pea brains. Do you want God's agape love or don't you? If you really want God's pure agape love so that you can go out there and spread that agape love, then the altar's open. You can't play around with God no more.